About the grace of God this morning. Mother Jenkins used to say, I can't tell it like I want to tell it. As the choir was singing that song, I just began to think about my life.
Thank you, God.
And how many times,
thank you, God,
when I thought I could not make it.
Thank you, God, for your grace. Thank you, God.
When I didn't know how it was going to turn out. Over and over and over again, God's grace was there to bring me through. Anybody else got a testimony like that this morning? If it had not been for the Lord on my side. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. He's worthy. He's worthy. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's nothing but God's grace. Oh, gracious and eternal God, we give you thanks. I can't tell anybody's story but mine. But nobody knows my story like you. As I look over my life and think things over, time and time again, God, when I think I was going down, you brought me up. When I thought I was done, you kept me. You've overruled reality, God. I can't tell it like I want to. But you know, I know it was nothing but the grace of God. You not only saved me, God, you keep me. Just want to say thank you this morning. Whatever your people are going through, remind them this morning that your grace is sufficient. You will strengthen us in our weakness. Forgive us of our sins, God, for we celebrate your grace this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God some more praise. Amen. 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 All right. God is so good. Y'all pray for me this morning because the choir just messed me up in a good way. In a good way. Amen. Amen. My cousin name is Monet. I don't know what I called you, but amen. Let's get that right. All right. All right. Yeah, pray for me. Amen. Amen. Much prayer. Much prayer is needed for sure today. Good to see Betsy Edwards. You haven't been with us in a while. Let's give God praise for her. Amen. Amen. And then all of our college students and graduates, all of our graduates and high school graduates. Come on, stand. Come on, Victoria, stand. Nicholas, you're in college, stand. All of our college students, stand. All of our college students. All right. Amen. Amen. We celebrate all of you, man. All right. We've been talking about forgiveness. And last week, I talked about some of us just need to forgive God. For some of us, God did not show up. And in his sovereignty, that which we wish did not happen, happened. And we find out in the book of Job that because God has given us free will here on earth, that sometimes God allows mankind to hurt one another. God allows sickness and death to enter our lives. But we see from the cross through even the death of Christ, Romans 8:28 is indeed at work. All things, somebody say all things, works together for the good of those who love the word, Lord. So some of us just need to say, God, I'm hurting and I don't know why you allow what you allow to happen. But technically, we have no right to ask God to be forgiven because God hasn't done anything wrong. But I'm dealing with the emotion of being disappointed with God. Today, I want to really talk about some of us still have had a hard time forgiving ourselves. Some of us, perhaps all of us, have made mistakes in our lives. Anybody never made a mistake in their lives? Some of us have not been able to let go of the fact that we have not raised our children perfectly. And some of us have been beating ourselves up because our children have made bad mistakes, and we are now rewinding the tape and we're thinking about what we could have done differently. Some of us have gone through divorces and we wonder if it was still our fault, even though you've been divorced for many years. Maybe some of us have made mistakes and some folks have paid a high cost. Maybe you were drinking and driving and injured someone. Maybe you were addicted and you really destroyed your household and your children, and they're mad at you. And you have done things today that you are still having a hard time letting go. Anybody not in that category today? I think about all of my children, and thank God they're doing okay. But there are some things that I wish we would have done differently. But there are some things we just can't undo. And we have to learn to forgive ourselves. Yeah. Somebody say, you need to let it go. You see, as humans, that we always, as long as we are made of woman and man, there's going to be some unfinished business when we leave this earth. As much as we try, there's some brokenness and some hurt and some pain that only God can deal with. And I'm not God. But God is trying to teach you that you might have life and have life more abundantly, to let it go. But not just let it go, but to confess your sins. Jan, you can put up that slide. I was studying the work of artists, and they had the top 10 things that they left unfinished. And how many of you grew up watching Bruce Lee? He was the Don. You in that era? You didn't watch Bruce Lee? Well, Bruce Lee, amen, was the kung fu artist, and Bruce Lee, I don't know, I loved him. I couldn't stay with karate or nothing. That was hard work, but I loved watching him on the screen. But Bruce Lee was making a movie, and in the midst of the movie, he got called to make a different movie, and he never finished. I'm looking for my notes. He never finished the movie that he was trying to make. It was called A Game of Death. Mysteriously, and I always wondered what happened to his movies, he died at 32 years old with his work undone. The next thing that I want to show you about work unfinished is the Palace of the Soviets. It was supposed to be the tallest building in the world, but then World War II broke out and they never finished this massive building. It was work left unfinished. Somebody say it's work undone. Jimi Hendrix was working on this masterpiece. How many of y'all know about Jimi Hendrix? He was working on this masterpiece, a guitar piece, a double album called The Rays of the New Rising Sun. And at 28 years old, he died with an overdose of sleeping pills. Work undone. Stuart, a portrait of George Washington that's on our $1 bill. It looks finished to us, but it was actually a portrait left unfinished intentionally by Stuart because he was making copies of this unfinished work and selling it for $100, even though he owned $1 with us. He was making mad money back in the day. And he intentionally didn't finish it because he wanted to continue making copies and selling it. George Washington was outraged, but when he died, the portrait really was still unfinished. It was work undone. Gandhi's Sagrada Familia was a cathedral, a Roman cathedral that was worked on for 40 years. But when Gandhi died, that work was yet undone. Da Vinci Gran Cavallo was a work of a horse that somebody commissioned him to do. It broke out between the French, and they had to donate all of that metal to make cannons for the work. It was masterful work that was left undone. The most famous work undone was one by Mozart. He was commissioned to write a piece called the Requiem, and it was a piece he was commissioned by a man who lost his wife, and Mozart worked on that piece believing that his own mortality might be expanded by this work, but yet this masterpiece was left undone. Some of y'all may be saying, what does this have to do with forgiving myself? Because unlike man, Jesus from the cross said, Father, it is finished. God is not like man. There was no unsettled pieces to be put in place. When he stretched out high from the cross, he said with a divine authority, the work that you have given me. Why is this important this morning? Because his work that he finished from the cross was the work of salvation, the work of redemption, the work of forgiving us for all of our sins, past, present, and future. He's not like man. Somebody say, Jesus is not like man. He finished what he started. And because he did, when you confess your sins, 1 John 1:9 says, God is faithful to forgive us of all of our sins. Don't leave here today. Somebody say, don't leave here today. Holding yourself accountable to the mistakes that you've done in the past. Don't leave here today feeling guilty and shame of something that you've done in your life that you can't undo. All you have to do is offer it up to God. Yeah. And believe. Somebody say believe. God is finished in the work of Jesus Christ. All that he started. Not only does God tell us from the cross that it is finished, from the throne in Revelation, he says it is done. What is the difference between John 19 and Revelation 21? From the cross, he says that salvation work is finished. The foundation has been laid for all of creation. creation to come to me by faith and to be forgiven by their sins. But from the throne, when he comes back, he says the creation is moaning and groaning for that realization of the new creation. And I'm telling you that the work on the cross made way for the foundation forevermore. It is realized when he comes back. Let's read the text for ourselves. In John 19, verse 30, it says, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, Tetelestai, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, it is finished. I don't want anybody leaving here feeling that you have done something that God cannot forgive you for. He has forgiven us of all our sins, past, present, and future. How many of you know that's good news? And when he comes back, he's going to give us a new creation. And we find these words in Revelation 21, verses 5 and 6. And I'll be reading from the New King James. From the NIV. He who was seated on the throne said, that's Jesus Christ, I am making everything new. Anybody ready for a new world, a new earth and a new heaven? Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of water of life. I want us to underline verse 7. Those who are victorious will inherit all this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children. My brothers and sisters, as we talk about forgiveness, I want all of us to understand that we're never going to be perfect as humans. We're never going to have perfect relationships. We're always going to mess it up. And even when we think we're doing a good job, it's not like Jesus. It's always going to be some stuff that's just not perfect. I think about, and my wife would tell me this is probably a bad analogy, but I think about whenever I try to put something together, Deacon Myatt, I do my best to follow instructions. But when I'm done, I got a lot of extra screws. And anybody like that in here? You know, I just put them in a bag. Amen. Yeah. But God's not like us. There's no extra stuff. When he says it is finished, it is done. It is done perfectly. So when we, those of you who are here holding stuff that happened in the past, those of you who believe that you just cannot forgive yourself because what you have done is too terrible, I want to release you from that lie from Satan this morning. Whatever you have done, somebody say whatever. God has forgiven you. 1 John 1, 8 and 10, write this down. 1 John 1 and 10, Jan, you can put that on the screen. It says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Every one of us have sinned. All of us fall short of the glory of God. And anybody here who is high and mighty and said, I ain't done nothing wrong, you're deceiving yourself. But the good news is, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, if you claim we have no sin, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. My brothers and sisters, all of us have done something wrong. All of us not have done something wrong. We do something wrong just about every day. And what I'm trying to teach all of you and myself as well is that John is saying that he knows that even though we've been delivered, where's John Turner? We got this lesson down. Even though we have been delivered from the penalty of sin, that means that those who come by Jesus Christ will not die. They will live forever. That's what his death did. He delivered us from the penalty of sin. He delivered us from the power of sin. That means that you don't have to sin. You choose to sin because we have the Holy Ghost that will give us the power over sin. But the reason why we keep on sinning, we have not yet been delivered from the presence of sin. Somebody say the presence of sin. That means in our flesh, we do what we don't want to do. That means others around us sometimes can be unwittingly used by Satan, and sometimes wittingly just carrying out the devil's schemes. Y'all don't have to get quiet. Amen. Until Christ comes, yes, we've been delivered from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. We're no longer in bondage. But until Christ comes again and says from the throne, it is done, I've made all things new, we've got to realize Satan is busy. And he's not always just busy in other folk. Come on, somebody. You're not always thinking right. You're not always doing right. You know, this is not in my notes, but I've realized as I think about the African American plight and how I get angry about how some folks don't understand what we go through, God convicted me and said, you are not always sensitive to what others are going through either. And so I've been praying to God, help me realize what other folk are going through. Somebody turn your name and say, you better realize. When we do not confess our sins, what John is teaching us in 1 John is that we're still saved, but we break our fellowship with God. You see, we're out of communion with God when we don't confess our sins. If you read 1 John, he says in verse 3, we proclaim to you that we have seen and heard so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. My brothers and sisters, when you don't confess, as 1 John tells us, you're still saved, but your fellowship with God is broken. And therefore, if your fellowship with God is broken, you don't experience his peace. You don't experience his joy. That's why every day we ought to bow down on our knees and say, Lord, have mercy. Somebody say, Lord, have mercy. I'm trying to free somebody up from beating yourself up for something you've done. I'm not letting you off the hook. Yes, you've hurt somebody. Yes, you've been selfish. Yes, maybe you've come over and overcome an addiction and you destroyed your family. Yes, maybe your kids are crazy because you didn't spend time with them. Yes, maybe you've done some other things, even in the church, that you ought to be ashamed of. But you ought not live in guilt. But you also ought to change. Somebody say you. Let me throw that in there. Jesus forgave and he said, go and sin no more. Somebody tell somebody, go and sin no more. So don't say what some folks say up in here. That's just who I am. I tell them, well, you ought to change. Tell somebody you ought to change. God wants us to confess our sins so we may remain in fellowship with him. Why should we trust God this morning? Why can we believe in the unfinished work of God this morning. Three things we see from the cross when he says to us, it is finished, and from the throne when he says, it is done. The first reason why we ought to trust God that he has truly forgiven us is that Jesus in his life, we can trust that he is the one who is able to forgive us because he offered in his life the perfect life of obedience. The whole thing with the law, if you go and study the Old Testament, the reason why Jesus had to come, and we don't understand this, is that if there were 10 things in the law, and the law, if you did all three, you would be holy and righteous and have a right relationship with God. If we did 9 out of the law was there, we had failed. And so the law was there to give us a standard, but none of us could ever do all 10. And the one that we did put us out of relationship with God. So the priest came and offered a sacrifice over and over again to the people. But Christ, somebody say Christ. Who is the only one who has ever lived a perfect life without sin. And by the way, even if you had managed to carry out all the commandments, you were born in sin because of the Adam and Eve, and so you were born a sinner. So, but Jesus can be trusted as one who can forgive us of our sins because he has offered up the only perfect life. Somebody say Jesus was perfect. Jesus was perfect. Not only do we find in scripture that Jesus can be trusted to forgive us of our sins because he has offered to us this perfect life. He that knew no sin became sin for us. We find that, Janet, in 2 Corinthians, pull that one up for me. All right. 2 Corinthians, she's on it. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Everything that belonged on us was placed on him. And he was nailed to the cross and buried, and thank God he rose on from the dead. Because death was the penalty for sin. But because God and Jesus had no sin, we sing death couldn't hold him down. Come on, let's give God some praise. Not only do we accept the fact that we've been forgiven because Christ from the cross said it is finished after he had offered up a perfect, obedient life, we know that we have been forgiven. Secondly, as we look at the life of Jesus, because he is the perfect revelation of God himself. You see, my brothers and sisters, I know I've been forgiven because Jesus is the perfect revelation of God. Sister Maya, I always remember her text to me who somebody had a bumper sticker that said, Jesus is a God selfie. He is indeed God's selfie. He is the closest and the perfect image of God. Why does that mean anything to us this morning? Because when I self, going of the prodigal son, I see myself going off to the far country on my own, going too far and staying too long, and it cost me too much. But thank God when I turned around and came running home, God was there to receive me back into his home, saying, this is my son, this is my daughter. Whenever you're ready, come on home. So we see in the life of Jesus not only a perfectly lived, obedient life, thank God he's left us a picture of God that is perfect, that reminds us whenever we go off to the far country, whenever we have a change of mind, God is waiting to forgive us. And thank God, throw us a party. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Lastly, when we look at the cross and Jesus saying, Father, forgive when Jesus saying it is finished, we not only have as confidence that we've been forgiven, that he's lived the perfect life and he's met all the requirements of God. We not only have this perfect revelation of God who reminds us that God is waiting for us to come on home and change our ways. He's waiting to throw us a Holy Ghost party. Lastly, we know that we have been forgiven because he has been the perfect sacrifice for our sins. He is the perfect atoning sacrifice. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody. We've got to understand, we praise him because if I wanted to die for you, it would mean nothing. My sin is tainted just like yours. But God sent his only begotten son who was without blemish as the perfect sacrifice to be an acceptable, theological word, a propitiation. That means an appeasement for our sins. There had to be an acceptable sacrifice without blemish, and only Jesus could serve in that capacity. And so whatever you're going through today, as we close out our series. I got one more on this one. But as we close out our series, whatever you're going through, I want you to know you've been forgiven. Tell somebody, I've been forgiven. Somebody don't believe it here today. But Christ have confessed it. Whatever you've done, if you have confessed it and you are a child of God, you have been forgiven. How do I know? Because Jesus said from the cross, it is finished. And he said it having offered himself as the perfect obedient sacrifice. We see something in his life, a revelation of a perfect picture of God. And we know because he was without sin, he offers us the perfect atonement for our sin. And God says through faith, you ought to receive his perfect sacrifice. Come on, let's give God some praise this morning. We have a perfect, song, I think, that Deshaun is going to give us today. But come on, let's let him come in and then we'll sing. What a friend we have in Jesus. Come on, Deshaun. Let's give God some praise as he comes.
So this song right here means a lot to me. And I was traveling and God began to speak to me. He said, when you think about company, they come over to your house. At some point, because they're company, they have to go. He said, but with me, I want to be the person who can stay with you and for the rest of your life. So my prayer was to God, you are the company that never have to leave me. So I need you to stay with me. How can I live? How can I move? How can I be without you? How can I stay in the midst of pain? I can't go on without you. So stay. You are the company that doesn't have to go. So stay with me. I'm broken before you. Please don't leave, cause I need you. I'm empty if I don't have. Stay with me and live my heart. company as long as you like. Your will is my command. Whatever you need from me, God, I give it up to you. You ain't gonna ask for it no more. I say yes. Somebody go open up your mouth and tell them yes.
Amen. Amen.
Somebody that he can find that's in the right posture that will make heaven move on their behalf. I need somebody. I know we're recording, but I need you to get up out of your seat. If you gotta walk around, you walk around. But I need you to open up your mouth and begin to pull on God tonight. Understand is every time you open up your mouth and worship is an automatic, it is an automatic a signal to the angels to do whatever it is that God has instructed them to do on your behalf. I wonder if there's somebody out here who will signal the angels tonight. Signal the angels. Signal them with your words. You are the company that doesn't have to go. So stay with me.
Let's give God some praise. Amen. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen. Thank Brother Deshaun. Somebody ought to be at the altar. I heard that. Amen. As we sing Come to Jesus, will you respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ? God wants to stay with you. He has promised that he would never leave us nor forsake us. As we stand, if there's someone here, Christ, this is your opportunity, who has not been forgiven by the blood of Jesus Christ, this is your opportunity not to look to your left or to your right, but just come to Jesus just as you are.
Come to Jesus.
As we sing hymn number 173, will you respond?
Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now.
There's no sin too great. He died for your sins.
Come to Jesus.
Only believe.
Come to Jesus.
Only believe. Is there one today who will trust Jesus Christ? He will save you.
He will save you. He will save
you. Will you trust him today?
Just now. Just now. He will save you. He will save you.
Just I mean, you know, God is able. God is able.
He is able.
Will you trust him? Is there one here today?
He is able. Just now.
You know he's willing this morning. Will you come?
He is willing. He is willing.
If you're here today and you don't have a church home, we invite you to join this family of believers. This call is for unbelievers and believers who are looking for a church home. Will you come? Will you come? Come to Jesus.
Jesus. Jesus. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now. Just now. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Just now.
Only trust him.
Only trust.
Come to the altar if there's a need in your life. On the life of someone you love, will you come to the altar?
Only trust.
If you just need to forgive yourself, whatever you've done,
just
God has already forgiven you. If you need to forgive yourself this morning, only trust him. Come to the altar if there's a need in your life. For the life of someone you love, come to the altar. Only trust him again.
Only trust him.
Only trust him. Will you trust him?
Only trust him.
Just now.
Just now. Only trust him. Only trust.
Heavenly Father, we come, Lord, to say we trust you. Each and every day, Lord, it's a different process, but we're trusting you, Lord. We make a conscious decision, God, that we will trust you each and every day. Lord, in that grace and that mercy, Lord, that grace and that mercy, I don't know about you, but God, it has carried me. It has carried me, Lord, through the valleys and underneath the valleys, God. That grace has sustained me. And we want to say thank you, Lord, for that amazing grace that covers a multitude of things. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, God. We ask you right now, Lord, to bless the sick among us. Lord, we ask that you would heal them, if it be your will, Lord. And if it not be your will, Lord, then we know that you will be the companion that doesn't have to go home. I thank you, God, for that, for never leaving and never forsaking us, because you're faithful. You are faithful to us, Lord. And I've come to appreciate, Lord, that in our darkest hours, in our darkest hours, God, glorious experience this week, where for a moment I felt alone and so overwhelmed. And at 3:30 in the morning, Lord, you led me to every verse in the Bible that would remind me that you are here. And you're concerned with everything going on in my life. And I want to thank you for that personal relationship, Lord. Lord, we want to go into the communities. We want to tell it all about you, Lord. We ask that you bless the members of this church. We ask you to bless our pastor, God, and his faithfulness towards you and his faithfulness toward us, God. We thank you for sending him to Christian Tabernacle. Bless his wife and his children as they maneuver through this world, God. We ask that you protect Oh God, we ask that you protect our children, Lord, from those who would seem to do them harm. And Lord, for those experiencing a Trump moment, God, we ask you to stand in front of us, God. Stand behind us and stand with us, Lord, that we may show them the power that the love will trump hate every day of the week, God. Thank you, Father. Bless us now, God, and keep us. And Lord, we will be so careful to be a witness to your power and your amazing grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen.